Good morning. A short prayer before we start. Your word has been proclaimed through the preaching of the word. May your words, life-giving words, enter into our hearts so that we may be transformed into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may, like Jesus, live to reach out to our neighbors, our strangers. Amen. Michael, are you ready? I've got some slides to show you, so I have to synchronize with Michael. He's given me the thumbs up, so let's go. I want you to ponder on this statement. Good fences make good neighbors. Good fences make good neighbors. Is this true? You don't have to answer it straight out to me, but, you know, in your heart, is this true? Prayerfully, true. Especially it's a Rottweiler or something like that. Oh, wow. Doesn't your senior minister have a Rottweiler? Yeah, I hope he's got a good fence. Two. Oh, wow. So prayerfully, in your heart, I would like you to converse with Jesus during this time. Because preaching of the word is not just about listening, trying to learn, but actually it's about conversing with Jesus, because you, whether you like it or not, he's alive and he can do stuff to you. So, as you prayerfully in your heart, as you converse with Jesus, do not quickly come to a decision. Linger with Jesus. Take time. In the midst of that, engage with the preaching, for we know, don't we, that God wishes to speak to us today. When was the last time you had a good, honest conversation with your neighbor? And Jono started us off in a good note. When was the last time you actually got to see your neighbor? Or put it the other way, when do you think your neighbor had a chance to see you? Do you know your neighbors? You may not know them by face and name, but you know them, right? Yeah? So you know that neighbor who doesn't collect their mail often enough and gets stuffed literally in their post box, and one windy day it blows, and then that litter comes over to your lawn and you have to pick it up, but before you realize it had rained and it became soggy and it's yuck. So you know that neighbor. You know that neighbor who, living on the floor above you, who pumps out music at all hours of the night? Oh, wow. Obviously, you've got good neighbors, hey? You know that neighbor who shares your office complex but never once sweeps the shared lounge? You know that neighbor who doesn't mow their lawn often enough and doesn't keep their weed under control? And that blooming wind comes, and the rain and the sun, and my fertile lawn has been invaded by weeds. You know that neighbor, don't you? A good fence will make good neighbors. It will keep their junk on their side and keep my good stuff in my side. A good fence will keep their weed on their side so that my sanctuary will be free from their mess. A good fence would protect me and my family and my things that I have worked hard for. It would keep them safe, just the way I have left it, the way I want it to be. Good fence will make good neighbor. We won't have to worry about each other's baggage. If we have a good fence that does its job, we won't have to worry one another. We don't have to bother each other. So let's have a better immigration policy, for example, and a vetting system. Let in those who would grow our economy, you know, and keep out those who will merely take our jobs, those who are useless, if not invasive, like weeds in our garden. Hey, keep those refugees out, you know, those from Syria and Middle East. Surely they are terrorists in disguise. Let's keep them out. So let's build a wall across the Mexican and North American border, and we will let the Mexicans pay for it, eh? Good idea. Well, I thought you guys were going to laugh at this, but man, our cords, we just have a different sense of humor, I think. Michael laughed. You laughed, eh, Michael? Yeah. Fence helps us to define my territory as opposed to theirs. This is my lot. This is my right. This is my sanctuary. How does this resonate with you? But isn't it interesting that it's not really the physical fence that truly separates you and your neighbor? Rather, it is the separation of the heart. We are not aware of them. We often simply don't care. They've become a faceless stranger to us. If not, we consider them a potential threat to our peace and safety. How's your conversation with Jesus going? How does what I say resonate in you? How is your heart reacting to the claim that good fence makes good neighbors? Keep your conversation going with Jesus as you listen further. So let's go to God's word. This morning, Samuel proclaimed the gospel, the good news to us, by reading out the parable of the Samaritan in the gospel reading. Through this parable, Jesus wants to teach us that we need to become compassionate towards everyone. Through this parable, he wants to teach us that we have to be compassionate to everyone. It's become so familiar to us, hasn't it? It's become so familiar. It becomes so familiar that we often miss the subtle message. So I want to bring to your attention those subtle messages. I want to bring to your attention the fence that the ancient people used to keep people at a distance that's in the parable. So the expert in the religious law, the lawyer, he answers Jesus correctly that the scripture's message of eternal life is to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. But wanting to justify himself, he asks Jesus, "So who is my neighbor?" We can sort of relate to that, can't we? I mean, how can I love everyone? Right? There must be a rule to regulate. There must be a rule to help me to say, yeah, you go to that person and I'll go to that person. You know. Oh, not that person, because that person doesn't really fit in. There must be a rule to help us. I wonder whether this guy was actually saying, because he's an expert in the religious law, you know? He knows the Bible inside out. He knows about the rules, and they apply them. Not only do they apply them, they make further rules to make sure that the Bible's rules don't become human rules, apparently, but they add human rules to it as well. So I wonder whether his question, who is my neighbor, he's really asking something like this: who deserves my love? Who deserves love from the people of God? Now that will help us. That will help us to focus our energy on the right kind of people, deserving people, worthy of our attention and help, right? So let's see what Jesus has to say. Well, Jesus being atypical, he doesn't give a straight answer. He does this all the time, and I think that's great. He makes things complicated because life is complicated. And so he tells a story with a twist. The story that we know of. The story of the Good Samaritan. With regards to this, I want to bring to your attention to this particular verse. The robbers stripped him of his clothes. You see, similar to today, but to a greater extent in the ancient world, what you wore showed who you were or who you belong to. So now, to help us understand this, I want to ask you a question, and I expect you to give me an answer. I hope this will be clear enough. Who in our society wears a light blue top and dark blue pants? The police, thank you. I asked this to somebody else, and they were like, I don't know. And I was just like, oh, I hope somebody knows in this church. Thank you. Yes, the police. How do you know that? Well, he obviously doesn't deserve my love. He's a criminal. Your experience shows, eh? Yes, the police, yeah. So you understand this? This is what's happening in the ancient world as well. The religious authorities wore clothing that when you see it, everyone knew who this person was by the style, by the color. And not only that, no one else was allowed to wear it. Otherwise, you would get into trouble. Like today, you wouldn't walk around Queen Street wearing police uniform unless you want to face the fate of this young man, of being arrested. Not only that, people wore different clothing depending on where you came from, what your religion was, what your culture was. So the priest and Levite here, being Jews, they wore their lot of clothes, while the Samaritans from Samaria would have worn their set of clothes, different kinds. So everyone knew who they were by the clothing one wears. This is not necessarily a bad thing, is it? I mean, we have Indians who wear turbans. We have Samoans wearing their... they've got Tuvalu, is it called Tuvalu? Lava, yeah, which some people call a skirt. You'll get into trouble for that. Don't call it a skirt. There's beauty in the stranger. There's beauty in strangers' culture. You know, back in those days, like in Auckland, people of different beliefs, whether religious or not, and people of different cultures would go into town, you know, like Queen Street, and do business and meet up. Despite this coming and going, the public religion of Israel and Samaria were at loggerheads with each other. You know, they considered each other unworthy unworthy of their respective religions. Fanatics of each camp would do acts of terrorism that created fear and distrust. Soon they became strangers not to take interest in and see beauty in, rather strangers to be feared and be protected from. Does this sound familiar to you? It sounds very much like the world that we live in. Good fence makes good neighbors. Good fence will keep their junk on their side. You stay there, I will stay here. Clothes were visual markers, a cultural system of structures that told whether you were part of my group, therefore safe and worthy, or part of their group, therefore bad and unworthy. Like a fence. So, here comes the crux of the parable. What clothing is the half-dead man wearing? Michael. What clothing is the half-dead man wearing? No clothes. Jesus makes sure to tell us that the man was stripped of his clothes. The half-dead man on the road is stripped of his clothes. He's naked. So how do I know? How do we know who this man is? Is he on our side or is he on their side? If I help him, am I helping my people, good people, people worthy of my favor, or am I helping my enemy? Would this person, when I help him, only later become a person who will come to destroy what I've worked hard for and value so dearly? You see, the parable is not merely about being compassionate to everyone. The question, who is my neighbor, is not merely a desire to know the identity of my neighbor. Rather, the question assumes and implies our desire for Jesus to say, you are good enough for helping people of your own beliefs, people on your side, people that are of your friends and family, people that you consider worthy. This question assumes and implies a desire for Jesus to affirm that he is my God, my family's God, my church's God, but not really yours. There is a desire wanting to keep the way, the things of the way as it is, because it's become such a normal way to live in this world that it brings peace of mind to us. Yeah, you keep wearing that clothing so that I can keep you at a distance. Yeah, let's erect the fences so that I can keep you away. I mean, everyone lives like this anyway, right? Why rock the boat? Let's just go with the flow, you know? Keep the status quo. Well, not with Jesus, and not with the church that calls Jesus our Lord and Savior. No. You see, Jesus tackles this very assumption and places it on its head, turns it upside down. Jesus asks, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? Isn't this strange? Do you find that strange that Jesus will ask? I mean, the expert in the religious law asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? And then suddenly Jesus turns around and says, so who do you think acted like a neighbor? Who would be a neighbor to that bird, now that you're all interested in that bird? Let it free. Oh! Woo! Well done, Birdie. The expert in the religious law asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Now Jesus turns around and says, Who among those three is worthy to be called a neighbor? In the kingdom of God, whose king is Jesus, a neighbor is no longer someone who is worthy of my favors. In the kingdom of God, established by the cross of Jesus, neighbor is the one who reaches out to the stranger. In the kingdom of God, Christ-like life led by the Holy Spirit, a true neighbor is the one who breaks down the separation we have created in our sin between us and others. Jesus makes our question, who deserves my favor? Who is my neighbor? Irrelevant. In fact, shows it for what it is, a selfish desire that divides and conquers, contrary to the kingdom of God that reaches out and unites. Kingdom of God. Life is like this. One becomes a neighbor even to those we consider unworthy, even to those we consider as our enemies, even to those we consider to be a potential threat to our private sanctuary. You know, this kind of living has consequences, and I want you to be aware of that. This kind of Christ-like life of reaching out to strangers has consequence. In the eyes of the world, by helping out a stranger, we will also become strangers to the world, alienated by the ways and values of this world that we do not share with the world. I mean, if you engage with the stranger who's stripped of his clothing, if you help the stranger, in a sense, you become a stranger too. In a sense, now no one knows who you are as well. Are you for us or are you for them? Who's that stranger that you are helping? Person who will help our economy to grow? Or person who will drain our economy? A person who will strengthen the church? Or person who will turn around and one day potentially become a threat to the Christian world? Who are you for helping that stranger? Who are you? Who do you belong to? The world will ask. In a sense, you are also stripped of your clothes by helping a stranger that has no identification marks. To be declothed, to be naked, is to become vulnerable and defenseless. In other words, Michael, we become defensed. This shouldn't be a surprise to us at all. This really shouldn't. As this picture will show us, wasn't our Lord stripped of all his clothes and defensed? Didn't Jesus reach out to the strangers? For that, didn't they call him a glutton and friend of sinners? Didn't they ask him, who are you? Are you from God or are you from Satan? Didn't Pilate ask, are you the Son of God? Didn't people at the crucifixion that we read this morning echo the words of the devil that tempted Jesus at the start of his ministry? If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If you are the Son of God, these people say to Jesus, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe. Yet until his death, he remained a stranger, declothed, defensed, For at Jesus' death, only at his death, God revealed himself as God of love and grace and forgiveness. God ripped apart the temple curtain from top to bottom, the very symbol, the very fence that the religious authorities had used to keep people out from God and to keep God out from human affairs, as if they can separate us from God's love and grace. As God in Jesus reaches out to humanity, and so breaking down the fence we have put up to try and keep God at bay, God under control. Now God in Jesus calls us to follow in his way and reach out to the strangers of this world, to defense and risk becoming a stranger ourselves. For this very thing, bringing in the kingdom of God, God enlists you. You are not a victim to be protected. God is determined to change the world through you. You are not a victim to be protected. God is determined to change the world through you. God is determined to continue defending the world and transform it in Jesus by the Holy Spirit through your reaching out to the stranger, through us. God is determined to break the fences of this world and get to all of us. So will you accept his call? A risky call, yes, but exciting and transforming call. Will you help the stranger who is stripped of his clothing, not knowing her identity? Will you live like Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit and change this world? Amen. I have a very short 2-minute reflection. So I hope this helps you to reflect.
Am I so invisible that my tears can't catch your eye? Am I so unlovable? No one out there hears my cry. I have heard the whisperings of hope calling, that I might find a hand to hold and restore me. Hey stranger, hey neighbor, you don't need wings to be my angel. Just hear me, just see me, let me know that I am truly worthy. Would you greet and welcome me if you found me at your door? Would you pray that I'll be free, find a life that's so much more? I have heard the whisperings of hope calling, that I might find a hand to hold and restore me. Hey stranger, hey neighbor, you don't need wings to be my angel. Just hear me, just see me, let me know that I am truly worthy. Hey. just hear me, just see me.